Angie has made it easier than ever to hire high-quality pros to get all your home service jobs done well. Just bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie will connect you with local pros who match your specific needs. Or book a service instantly at an upfront price. So join the millions of homeowners who use Angie to care for their homes and get your next home service job done well. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Aubrey Edwards, Tony Schiavone, we about to party. We about to party. Unrestricted, got the house now. We gon' turn it up, up, bring the house down. Got that bass, space, pump and make them bounce now. Flossing like they bossing and the freaks are coming out now.
Welcome to All Elite Wrestling Podcast. It's unrestricted, as you can tell.
Tony
Schiavone and Aubrey Edwards,
this is
the
all
world's
I do.
Greatest professional wrestling referee.
Well, this is Tony Schiavone.
Yeah, Aubrey Edwards. You like that, don't you?
No, I hate it.
No, you should love it. we're very happy to have our special guest. Why don't you introduce our
we
special
are.
Guest?
Oh, how dare you? You asshole. Tony, jeez. So today, we've got Billy Gunn. I'm real excited. It was funny because he was giving me crap before this that I actually had to do a ton of research because I don't actually know a ton about your early career. I think the first time I actually saw you on TV was like a DX reunion.
Jeez.
I know, right?
Or are you living under a rock?
Pretty much.
Good Lord.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, you've had New Age Outlaws, DX, won a bunch of tag titles, did some stuff on the indies, did TNA. You've done like it all. And now you're here as a coach, occasional wrestler, because you were in a couple battle royals, wrestled with your son.
Occasional
yeah, wrestler. Yeah. Like, well, we got 19 episodes of TV, a couple pay-per-views.
You say, hey, you're head coach and talent.
And talent. Yeah, like,
that,
and.
That covers it
it's
all.
It's like an asterisk.
That's part-time or whenever I want to.
Whatever.
Yeah.
No, just, it's wrestling. It's all perception. Just call it whatever you want.
Oh,
okay. I don't know. Well, welcome. Yeah,
obviously, we called you the world's greatest referee.
I just pay him to say that.
So, Billy, how do you like it so far here in AEW?
I love it. You know, it's what it is. It brings you back to when you enjoyed when you enjoyed what you did.
Right.
Like there was a time that I really enjoyed this, and then it just went away.
Sure.
It went away because of whatever, and then now. Just being back in the locker room and being around, and I'm going to say kids because I'm old, being around kids that enjoy what they do. Mm-hmm. Like they enjoy being here. They enjoy what they do. I don't feel that we put any kind of pressure in a sense that you have to do this. You're going to be this kind of robot or you're going to be that kind of robot. And it's fun to just enjoy myself and not have any stress and have people actually want to listen to me. Oh, you do know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
Once in a while,
yeah.
I do. I mean,
that's why we pay
very
you.
Seldom.
I okay. get that feeling when I go by the go position there and you're sitting there with Tony Khan or maybe Cody's there that everybody is really focused and loving. It's a good atmosphere right there.
It's a
it
really
is.
Good
vibe. It is very, very good. It's stress free.
Right.
Like there's nothing worse than just being. Like you're on edge about everything that you do, and then you just don't do your best work like mm-hmm. that under those kind of stress. I mean, I do, but, you know.
Is there a big difference working at a place like here where talent has more control over what it is they're doing and what characters they're trying to portray? Like, do you find a difference day to day? Like, other than, like, it feeling way less stressful and it being
I think it, awesome yeah, because I think the best part about here is they're still trying to find themselves. It's
right.
not anybody's... Nobody's really set. Like you have your Jerichos and your Moxleys, and of course you're going to have your set characters that you have to have.
Mm-hmm.
But I think everybody else, even though just for Austin, for example, my son, he's just because he's in this direction right now doesn't mean he'll end up there.
Well, no, and he's right. Young
and
too,
there's
right?
some other yes, and there's some other kids that are the same way. they're not set in that. They're comfortable with the direction that they're going, and they're comfortable right now, but you never know.
Like, yeah.
You never know when big things hit unless you're willing to try.
Right.
And if you're under a bunch of stress and you're in a straight line and you're not willing to kind of go off, sometimes you got to wander off.
But when you wander off and you're not afraid
to fail and you're willing to explore different avenues, that's when all the great stuff happens. Mm-hmm. It really does. Because I know firsthand, if you just turn yourself loose and believe in yourself and know that you can, like, I know what I can do if you just give me the chance, I mm-hmm. think that's what everybody has here.
You are really happy right now, and I don't often see this side of you, because every time you look at me, you're like, oh, you're here. Okay.
That's it. Because people don't realize, people don't realize I still have a monster passion for this job. And this company
that
has
brought it back. That is very evident. Very evident.
No, but I mean, this company has brought it back out of me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, I was burnt. Like, without saying it, people know where I've been at
right.
for the past 20-something years.
Your Wikipedia page is very long. I don't know if you knew that
so,
or not.
But there comes a time when you've been beat. I was beat.
Yeah.
They got me. Physically, I mean, they literally got me.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that the passion lost me. It means that my love for this job, there's a difference.
Right, right.
That my love for this job had faded because I'd just been beaten down so bad. But now, like, I love talking about this and I love talking about the business and I love talking about this direction because it's exciting. It
right.
really is. It's super exciting.
How did you get involved with AEW?
Cody called me. Like, they called me and said, hey, we have to have you. Because I'd been fired the fourth time from another place.
Right.
But no, I left over there and was doing out on the indies. I was just having fun.
Like, right.
For some reason, people still wanted to book me all the time. So I was super busy. Like, I wasn't.
People like butt stuff.
Yeah, well, that's true. But they were in process of doing all this. All the main characters were
right.
set. Now, with the main characters, how do we need people around us that.
Right.
And me and Cody have always had a great relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And they reached out and said, hey, would you love to be a part of this? And I went, well, where do I sign?
I don't even need paper.
Where do I
hand
sign?
Them over. Sure. Just hand them over.
And it's been a great relationship. And you talked about you were on the indie tours in the circuit. People remember DX and they remember that time and how big it was back then.
They do. And I think that's the biggest thing that keeps me going, like that lets me work all the time
mm-hmm.
is because I was fortunate enough to be in a group and a tag at the time. And I'm not saying nothing about my other tags because I was in some great tags and it wasn't just me. It was the people that I worked with
mm-hmm.
that were awesome people as well. But it's that it never goes away. It never gets old.
Yeah.
Like every time I did, like people want to hear it. So I have to give it to them. When I do, I laugh so hard
mm-hmm.
just because of the people. I'm a huge, like if people ever have been to a seminar of mine, I'm a huge people person. I love people, except if I'm in the airport. I love, no, I
Nobody
love
likes people.
I love watching their reactions to stuff. And still to this day, I don't care if they're like, there's like 10-year-old kids that'll sit there and do all my stuff. And I go, and I keep forgetting, oh, the social media and the YouTube thing
sure.
and all that other
it's,
stuff.
It's
that
out
they
there.
Just go back. Because I was fortunate enough to be in a period when wrestling was just ridiculous.
Yes. Mm.
Just insane.
Yes.
And I mean, insane.
Yes, it was.
So, and luckily I was a huge part of that. Like I was a big part of that, part of the wrestling business in history. And we will always be remembered. And that's really cool. Not that everybody will be remembered in their own way. And it's mm-hmm. okay however they remember me as being, you know, whatever. But it was good. It's good. And it's fun to watch people's faces. And it makes me laugh because they still remember every bit of it.
Yeah.
Like, I'll still have some people because that Brian kid doesn't go with me. So I'll have people that – and sometimes if I'm feeling it, people will do it. They're like, they'll do the first part, and then I just do the second part. And it's fun to watch their – because they all know it.
Right.
Like, I don't
right.
know how, but to
right.
this day, you know, what are we, 20 years past it or 15 years past it?
Right.
They still know every single word.
Sure.
Without a beat, without a skip.
When you walked out for the Battle Royal – I mean, they were just with you. It was a big pop. It really was.
Because it's nostalgia. I know what it is.
Sure.
It's, you know, it's not like I'm not trying to fool these people and go when they see me that they go, oh, we're going to see a 5-star match now. That's but it's not that. It's I think the best part is it's like husbands and guys that have their kids with them that they go, yeah, watch. This is what I grew up
with. Exactly. Nostalgia. Sure.
And instead of seeing it in pictures or whatever, now they get to see it in real life. Like, this is, that's him.
Well, you're sharing a part of your life with someone.
He's there,
in real time.
He's here. Look, that's him.
That's the guy. That's the guy with the butt.
And he's still able to do this at some level.
I want to go back and talk about your years and some of the things that you did. I also want to ask you about your workout regime, because I know that you're really into nutrition and you are on top of people, make sure they work out.
Yeah, because I try to get other people to follow in my footsteps, but they would rather just wear a dress and walk around with papers in their hands. But anyway, obviously that's not you. You've never worn a dress.
I wore a dress on the boat. I actually wore dresses on the cruise.
Really?
You did?
You trying to pick up somebody?
No. Yeah. No.
Not have your husband?
I was hiding. No, he was there. That's why everyone's like, who is this person? Like, I literally had like a giant sun hat and dresses and heels, and nobody knew who I was. And it was great. It was like hiding in plain sight. I know how to dress like a person from time to time.
So, are you giving everybody, a lot of people, tips backstage on nutrition? Like,
I mean, I don't push it on people at this stage in my life and what I do and what I'm passionate about, other than that, like, I had to find something other than this to take my energy away. It was like before when we trained, you just go, I was a typical guy or a typical training person. Go in the gym, lift a bunch of weights, leave, go eat a bunch of food, and everything works out fine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Plus, with my genetics, I'm blessed to have awesome genetics because I can literally eat Burger King every day for months and
you
never gain weight.
Bitch.
I know my wife hates it. My wife,
an asshole.
But it's just here lately, the last few years, I've just really been focusing because I'm getting older. Mm-hmm. My joints hurt a little bit
you are.
More. So.
Everybody is.
There you go.
Just stabbing you for that Burger King.
Should I pitch some more stuff to you?
Hey, you know what? You can stay over here. You can stay over here. Stay in your lane.
But
sir.
I've been researching stuff. Mike O'Hearn is a huge inspiration to me. He's been doing this. He's been on over 500 magazine covers, and he's Mr. Universe. But he's a very good trainer. And I look to him for advice because me and him are kind of, you kind of want somebody that's kind of your same body type because obviously we're not all the same. But just reaching out to him a couple years ago, I think it was last year, not a couple, but just last year. And then me and him became really good friends and he's just helping me. Like I've never been a food person. I've never, if you were to tell diet to me, I'd just run and hide somewhere because that just isn't in my vocabulary. But I took diet as losing weight and doing other, like there's
the
different diets
form.
To do stuff.
Yeah.
I want to gain weight, but it's still called a diet because you're following a food plan.
Correct.
And I was never much into that. And I was never much into functional training or doing other things. And I do a lot of that now. Mm. And it's so much fun.
Nice.
Your question.
My question?
Yeah.
We can't do a podcast and stare at each other
as much
as you would like
it's
to.
It's really awkward.
she was mesmerized.
Yeah. I was just mesmerized.
She was trying to figure out how to stick that into her routine if she were to do one once a week.
Right. I'm I don't know.
Okay. Aubrey has a real story.
I have a real story. So first time I met you, the only thing I thought was like, oh my God, this guy's massive. Like you see people on TV. It's like, okay, cool, like gigantic guy, cool, whatever. But everyone in wrestling's huge, right? It's like literally, like we're all tiny, like itty bitty, like bugs compared to you. And it's so intimidating. And then meeting you for the first time and like how much shit we talk to each other on a daily basis. Yeah. I'm like, oh no, this guy's cool. He's a great.
Yeah.
My favorite thing that we do is he'll actually come up to the go position, throw on a headset, and he'll ask me, hey, Aubrey, you work out today? And you know I did. If you're ever watching and you see me like look at hard cam and then I flex, it's because I did. Otherwise I look real sad because I didn't and I feel like I disappointed him.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, the worst thing they could do is let me sit at that position and have
terrible.
That thing that I can talk
just
to
a live
people.
Mic. You like tried to get me to do push-ups once?
Yes.
You tried to get me to do push-ups.
And I'm trying to pop. I'm trying to bust her now. Now so that's like, will be my goal. I'm just trying to be subtle about it because I'm about to like let everything let go and really get her.
There was one time he's in my ear and he's like, hey, push-up contest, you and Justin. And we're in commercial and I look at Justin Roberts. I'm like, hey, dude, Billy just told us we have to do push-ups. And he looks at me like, what, like now? I'm like, I think so. And you're like, hey, come on. We don't have all day. We're coming back from commercial in 90 seconds. And I'm trying to get Justin to do the first one, but he's like really embarrassed about it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I would have kicked his ass. I should have done it.
Yeah. We're talking with Billy Gunn, and we're going to talk a little bit about his success in the ring.
Aubrey, it's time to talk about lifestyles, and it's time to talk about how my life has changed for the better thanks to Athletic Greens. I think I've mentioned to you before, I don't know if you've heard this or not, but it's well known that I take a lot of supplements. I feel that at my age, I need to supplement my life. And at one time I was taking, and count them, Lois and I were talking about it, you're taking so many capsules, you're taking so many soft gels. Yeah, I was. 27 different supplements I was taking.
I mean, you're taking a lot, but you really care about your health. You're on the road all the time.
Right.
You got to really focus on your gut health. It's a daily routine that you need to build in. And I know AG1 from Athletic Greens just makes it super easy. I wasn't taking 27 supplements, but I was taking a couple that I've gotten to actually remove from my day-to-day routine. Because AG1 has 75 different nutrients that just help me feel healthier.
Take AG1 in the morning, right before I start my day. It makes me feel great. It makes me feel, puts energy in my life. And it's only one scoop in water. And we've talked about this before. It tastes wonderful.
It tastes wonderful.
A lot of the supplements you take, yeah, a lot of supplements go, ah, but this tastes great.
Absolutely. A lot of them are garbage. They just like, you don't want to drink it. It's hard to build a daily routine around something that just isn't tasty. But I actually look forward to drinking AG1. It's a great, great beverage. It just makes me feel so healthy. It's wonderful. Again, like I do the same thing, one scoop in water, little bit of the vitamin D, and it's just absolutely fantastic. It's a comprehensive solution. It's what you need for your supplement routine. Athletic Greens is giving away a free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free travel packets. I keep these in my suitcase constantly so I can take AG1 on the road. You get five free travel packets with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/AEWUnrestricted. That's athleticgreens.com/AEWUnrestricted. Check it out. Buy it. Drink it. It's delicious.
We're talking with Billy Gunn about his career here in AEW, about his career prior to that. Your debut with the Smoking Guns, 1993. Time goes by quickly, doesn't it?
You want to know how old I was in 1993?
No, I do not.
Then I won't tell you.
Were you even born?
I was six.
Oh, so you're a lot older than I thought you were.
Makeup is real good, dude. Like, I look legit good for 33.
That's great.
Six.
Six.
What do you remember?
1993.
Yeah, what do you remember about your debut with the WWE?
What do I remember? I remember this is back when we would do, like, it wasn't live. It was all taped. So they would, it was ridiculous. We taped so many shows, so many days. Like, I think it was Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday or something is how we were, and taped two shows a day. Well, when we got our tryout, they came up, and when we did the Smoking Guns, we were decked head to toe with every single, everything, every Western wear thing you could imagine.
Right? Yeah.
So they told us, hey, be dressed because for your tryout, back then with their tryouts, you know, back in my day, our tryouts were, when they'd tape change, or they needed a match before something else aired right. Or something, they would throw guys out there for 6-8 minutes or whatever. So they said, well, be dressed when the show starts, which is, you know, when you get there virtually at 2:00 in the afternoon. Be dressed from then, and then we'll just call on you at a whim. So mm-hmm. You just be ready. So the first day we were dressed all day, nothing.
Nothing.
Second day, dressed all day, nothing. Third day, dressed all day. Here it comes. Mm-hmm. They finally go, okay, we're doing the last show, tape change, whatever. Just go out there 8 minutes. It was with Barry Hardy and the kid that does Gilbert deal.
Right.
So, okay. And it wasn't like it wasn't anything we did spectacular. We actually listened to the people that told us, hey, go out there. They just want to see how people react to you.
Right.
They just want to see how you move.
Just have
they
fun.
Yes. And we just literally went out, yee-haw, and I could do some rope tricks. So I did rope tricks and yee-hawed and did all this and just had a basic little match and just came back. And they liked it, I guess, because they took us from there. like if we really got into this and figured out how I got into the business,
you'd it's unrestricted. We can talk about whatever we want.
No, I understand that, but we don't have time.
Oh,
but
shit.
But anyway, I was in a sense, I was never a wrestling person. I didn't know how it worked. I fell into this by luck. I didn't watch it, didn't have nothing to do with it.
Right.
Like I just started training because two guys that I grew up with in high school were doing, Ron and Don Harris, Blues Brothers, were doing Memphis and Nashville.
How about that?
They lived in Apopka. I grew up with them and knew them. They came back into town. I asked them what they were doing. They said they were wrestling in Memphis and stuff. And I literally almost peed in my pants because I thought it was the stupidest shit I ever heard.
Well, it kind of is.
But then they would come into town. They finally got me to go to a ring. They beat the life right out of me. You don't know Ron and Don Harris. 6'8", 6'9", yeah. Twins.
Oh.
Nice as could be, would beat the shit right out of you.
Yeah.
Nice. And I literally sat there, like blood out of my nose, my mouth and stuff, going, okay, hold on a second. This is nothing that I've heard that is.
I've heard
and
it's fake.
The whole thing like that. And they went, well, you know. And I fell in love.
Sure.
Like, then all of a sudden I couldn't get enough of it. That's when I ran into Bart and did all that. But being as green as we were, we went from the ring. They said, hey, Vince would like to talk to you. So we went into Vince's office. He was with J.J. Dillon at the time. J.J. was working there. And they go, hey, ask us a little about ourselves or whatever. And he goes, we'd like to send you a contract to, you know, look it over, see what you think. And back then, it was just like a piece of paper that said you're going to work 10 days in a year or something like
exactly,
that.
Right.
It wasn't it was about that. It wasn't anything special or nothing.
Single page.
And so I looked at Vince and I go, well, I have a job. Can I do this on the weekends? And I'm not kidding you. He did that, did his little Vince laugh and then looked at me and he goes, I think you'll be all right. Like, I didn't know. He knows. Yeah. He just knew something. He knew something was there. Could he get it out of me or could they, you know? But that's what I remember the most. It's literally looking at Vince McMahon and going, asking him if I could just wrestle on the weekends because I had a job.
Like, who the hell are you?
Well, because I don't, and it wasn't meant as anything except I didn't know how it worked.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't know that you work all the time.
Like, this is literally your job.
And if you're good, you can actually make money at it.
Right.
So how much of the smoking guns gimmick was real?
No, it was, that's all I did.
That's all you did?
I went to college on a rodeo scholarship, not a football. I had 16 football scholarships and one rodeo scholarship.
So
rodeo scholarship?
Yeah.
How do you get a rodeo scholarship?
They give them
to scouts?
No, because I've trained horses and stuff my entire life.
Can you ride a bull?
Up until,
Can you ride a bull?
Yeah, that's what I did.
What?
That's what I did.
How? Okay.
So when you use the bull rope, it was a shoot, right? I mean,
Oh my God.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
No, see, because when I was a little kid, that's all I did. I rode horses. I trained horses. I went to college as an ag business major.
Okay.
I worked on a ranch, trained horses on a ranch to put myself through the school, which not putting myself through school meant going to there.
You were on football scholarships, let's be real.
No, I swear, I didn't go. I didn't want to play football. Like, me and my dad had a big talk about it because I was a pretty good football player. So I really had to ride anywhere I wanted to go, but it wasn't what I wanted to do. It just didn't it never grabbed me. Mm-hmm. I only did it because people wanted me to do it. But there's this thing about me that when I do something and I'm not really good at it, my ADD kicks in and I go berserko. Mm-hmm. So I literally train and train and train until I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's so good about wrestling is I did every sport you could do. And I don't want to say it's easy, but it was easy. And when it's easy, it's not fun and it's not challenging anymore. This is the only thing that changes so much. And you'll never know everything there is about wrestling because it changes so much.
Mm-hmm. And the moment you have it down, the industry changes again.
And it's a whole different element of what you have to do. And you either keep up or you stick to your old ways and just go away. Mm-hmm. I think that's why I'm still pretty relevant is because I'm willing to change. I don't just, there's never a time I go, well, back when I did, because that's just silly. It's ridiculous. Right.
Well, and I feel if you're of that mindset, you're not going to end up here.
No.
No, I was saying, and you've got to be that way now and be a coach in this business, right? Because the business has changed so much.
Yeah, and I feel to get talent to listen to you, there has to be a way that they can connect with you. And if all you do is talk about the old days and what we used to do in the old days, is you can tell, we have a ton of knowledge. We have a boatload of knowledge. And I'm not trying to throw it on you. I'm going to give it to you and you do with it what you want. Mm-hmm. I don't yell it at you. I don't say, hey, you have to do this. And the only way that you're going to do that is if you trust me or we have some kind of relationship other than, okay, you've been in the business a long time. Okay, that gets you so far. It doesn't get you all the way.
Right.
And I go all the way. So if I feel that I have to talk to you a different way than I can talk to somebody else, then that's what I do. It doesn't mean that it's any less important, but there has to be that relationship. So when I ask you to do something or ask you to try it, that you trust me. Because the last thing I want to do that, and they go, oh, they're trying to sabotage me. Because it's a wrestling business, and we try to sabotage everybody.
Right.
Immediately
it's the wrestling
all
business.
Immediately worried.
I wanted to ask you, we were talking about the smoking guns, about your relationship with Bart. And Bart, pretty tough guy, right?
Not pretty.
Very.
Not pretty.
Okay.
Very.
Barroom brawling.
He's the only guy that you can actually walk in his town and walk anywhere, uh-huh. and it separates like the Red Sea.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's known and known well.
Right.
But, when Ron and Don got done with me, I wanted to go to, because they were working, like I said, up in Nashville and Memphis and stuff. And I wanted to go to a school, and God, as much as I hate saying this name, Eddie Mansfield had a...
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. You know.
I know, yeah.
He had a school, but nobody ever went. The only person I ran into ever there was Bart. And we were so... Like, Bart was the same as me. He didn't know none of this either. So we would literally set up a TV with tapes and watch stuff and then run it. Needless to say, he would kill me a lot of the times,
right?
Hence why I got so tough, because I had to toughen up just to beat him up.
Right.
So it was never any psychology stuff. It was just see, do. See, try to do. So if you can just imagine us two doing that.
Yeah.
But ever since me and Bart, the first time we saw each other, we were just connected. It was just a thing. It was
right.
We were very connected.
Yeah.
Like we just had that bond.
You still stay in touch with him?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. I do. Because he's such a good guy.
Right.
He is awesome person.
Beat up 15 guys in a bar. Is that true?
Yes. Oh, yeah. That would be on a weekend basis if he wanted
that
to.
That happened more than once.
It's not a one-time thing. Yeah.
No, he's very cool.
Oh, sure.
But
yeah.
Until you say something the wrong way. Then he doesn't go, like he doesn't do stuff in moderation either. When he goes, he beats everybody up.
Right.
He's not singling anybody out. He's just, if you know him or you hung out with the guy that he's about to beat up, they're getting beat up too.
Yeah. 4 years later. 4 years later, you team with Road Dogg and the New Age Outlaws. And you and Brian are still very close, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There was – people ask me all the time, and I just – I don't know what it was. Like, I literally don't know how come we had such great chemistry or how come – because, yes, I knew him from work. I knew him from doing the roadie with Jeff and all that stuff, and we knew each other. But until the day that they said, hey, we're going to put you together to tag, and the very first time we tagged, something like I want, yes. And I want to be really corny and say magical, but I don't know how to explain it.
Right.
Like there was that thing we did, but it was so weird. And I wish I had a way to explain it, but I just don't. But because me and him were working each other, mm-hmm. doing all kinds of, but the minute we started tagging together, it was
magic.
It was magic. Thanks for saying that.
Yeah.
Well, you have the same type of personalities, at least it seems to me.
In a way, we do.
But you come from different backgrounds, right? You didn't know anything about it, and he grew up in wrestling.
Yes,
right.
Exactly. So, and it was just it was beyond being brothers. It was beyond being partners. It was beyond everything. It was just, we just knew each other like better than anybody could.
Mm-hmm.
And when we did stuff together, we literally just fed off of each other. That's all we needed. Like, really, that's the only, I'm not saying the only reason, but that's one of the reasons that we got over so well is, one, we were going to get fired, so we had no reins on us, and we literally just, like, would go do whatever we wanted to do. And it was never anything outlandish that we were trying to get fired, but it was finally, I get to be me, he gets to do what he does best, And we always worked off that. He is probably one of the best talkers that people don't realize in this business.
Yes, he is.
Like, he is so good.
Right.
Like, because, and people don't know a lot of stuff about him, but every night before we'd crack that curtain, he was a wreck and would literally hang on to me and go, I have no idea what to say. Give me something. And we would sit there and I would wait for our music and just shove him out the curtain and blah, it just would go. And right. But he would do it every single night. And after a while, you think it was funny or a rib, but it really isn't.
No, it's
he
just
literally
him.
Doesn't until you put him in that moment.
Right.
But once you put him in the moment, he's all, and I'm not a good talker. I'm a great worker.
That's why you two work so well together.
But we always knew each other's strength. We always knew what each other was doing. We would always try to make each other laugh. If anybody could, back in the early days, ever walk around with us, you couldn't handle it, because we would just literally, we would feed off each other so much that it was almost ridiculous.
Some great tag team matches. You had a feud with Mick Foley in 1998.
Yeah, and I mean, Terry Funk.
Terry mm-hmm. Funk. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about two guys who are just legendary. I don't want to say hardcore, but they did crazy things.
And Terry, probably one of the toughest humans I've ever been in the ring with.
Right.
Probably one of the funniest moments is I power bombed him in a dumpster and hit the side of the dumpster and almost tore him in half. Uh-huh. And we came in the back and I was like, I felt so bad. Like, I don't know what happened. It just was one of those things. And I would say, kid, don't worry. It's all part of the business or whatever.
Right, exactly.
But then the very next night we're out working and he hit me so hard. Like, he likes to blame me that he can't see, but he'll just do that Terry Funk selling them out of nowhere, just clot, and he just clobbered me. And you can't help but just lay there and just start laughing. Just go, okay, there it is. I knew something was coming. But yeah, we had some great stuff with them. We had good chemistry with them.
Yeah.
Of course, Terry's Terry and Mick's Mick. But
right.
You know, we did some good stuff with them. And it kind of, when we threw them off the stage,
yeah.
Kind of everybody just went, one, they just went, oh my God, because it was a long way. It really was.
Yeah, right.
Like, it was a long way. It wasn't just off a ledge.
Right.
We chucked them off the stage.
Right.
And then people kind of just went, oh my God, these guys are for real. Like, so I think that is kind of what really put me and Brian on the map.
Right, right. I had matches with Owen Hart and The Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Dwayne was always easy to work with.
Sure.
He has a larger than life personality. Mm-hmm. And Owen, in his own right, is right. Just, you know, he's a heart.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Do you say any more than that?
Right, right. Exactly.
Do you say any more than that? But, you know, and at the time, those guys had such huge personalities and were so over that you just, you know, it's, I feel that we need to get to that where people are so over that they don't understand the energy that comes with that. Like,
very well said. Absolutely. I agree with that. That's
right. Dude, it's life changing. Like, it's amazing,
right?
To be in there with somebody. It's the same, and it never gets old. And I've been in there 1,000 times with Austin, Steve, and The Rock, the same, and some of those guys. But when you're out there and that shit hits, talking music, mm-hmm. It's another level of craziness. I mean, you literally, your skin just wants to. Your skin will peel right off of you because it's such an energy and it's such a, like, people lose their minds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, back then would lose that. If that glass broke or what the hell you smell?
Yeah.
People would go insane.
Right. Yeah.
And when you're in it, like, you're just dropped right in the middle.
You're just in the middle of the ring waiting.
Like, it's all coming.
Sure.
And you know, because you just hang on. You go somewhere into a corner, you hang on to something because it's coming. I mean, me and Brian got that one night in Tacoma, Washington, actually, to where we couldn't even work. They sucked the life right out of them. They were so, like, Brian could not talk for 10 minutes. They were so loud. And every time he tried to talk, they would get louder. And it's what that is. It's an emotional reaction. Like, it's different than getting a reaction or
right.
Getting something that you did.
People are invested.
Yes. When you get an emotional reaction, it is a whole different level of crazy. Like, and those guys had it. We had it, you know, those guys had it. And just being in that, you don't have to do anything else.
Right.
Because if they're there for that, can you just imagine when we do a move or something, oh, they're going to go insane.
Roof blows off.
In 1997, you guys won your first tag title against the Legion of Doom.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty famous tag team.
Yeah, they were great.
Yeah.
You know, but they came in and did what they needed to do, which
right.
is, you know, kudos to them. You know,
right.
they were passing the torch and they were passing it to me and Brian.
Right.
And what better guys than the two biggest names in tag team wrestling
Absolutely.
At the time.
Yeah. You know. We're talking with Billy Gunn. We're going to be talking about D-Generation X and a whole lot more. We're talking with Billy Gunn, and we're talking about his great career. The Generation X, did you realize how big this would be?
No.
Did anybody?
You know, no. Because when the first two did, I hate saying their names, but...
The first two.
No, I mean, I just hate saying their names. When Hunter and Sean did it, it was something different. It was something new. It was something not wrestling. But it's on a wrestling show. But it caught on because of the personalities that those two had. Those two did the same thing. They fed off Grady, off of each other, did some silly stuff, and were, it's going to hurt. But they were pretty good.
Oh.
I know. That hurt so bad.
It's okay. It's okay. But, we're here for you.
Thank you, because I'm going to need a lot of counseling after this show.
Pain is all a part of wrestling.
I mean, you got to give them what they're, you know, but it's... But I think when Sean went away, and I'm going to hold to this day, DX did not get good until me and Brian got on there, till we were in it. Because now you have five people, and it's a whole different dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have everybody and anybody that could do everything and anything, right? So and everybody played their part so good, and... As a unit, we were just unstoppable and still doing the entertaining stuff and just doing more wrestling stuff.
Any of the antics that you guys did that really sticks out in your mind that you remember?
On TV or not?
Yeah.
We used to walk.
That's okay.
That
face is amazing.
Like, that's how crazy it was. Okay. We would walk around downtown New York and get girls to take their tops off. Just because we could.
Just because you're like, I'm like, DX.
My heroes.
Here's some titties.
We would do silly things like right. that. But it was more just to see if we could do it. Like
sure.
how
right.
much. Like, and they would look and go, sure. And you go, what are we right now? Like, what are we?
Is this happening? Is this really happening? I don't know. Get her to take her top off. Get her.
Yeah.
But,
jeez.
You mentioned Steve Austin and working with him and... DX messed with Steve Austin, and he got you guys back.
Yeah, got caught in bear traps. We got caught in springs. We got stuff dumped on us. We got hooked up. We got like that. You know, there's not like Steve had the ultimate character, but then had the ultimate bad guy. So, and he was smoking. There, to me, there's nobody that's ever been as hot as he was at that.
No, you're right.
I don't.
I agree.
No offense to Hogan and stuff. Hogan had a longer lifespan here,
correct.
And did certain things, but just as a person that was over super fast, Steve was it.
He's the biggest star ever in our business, I think.
I agree.
Right.
I do agree. And and it's not that we've had some greats and it's not taking away nothing from them, but Austin was another level.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because he played the part. He was the perfect guy. He's that guy. And he had the perfect villain in that guy that everybody hated. And and there's not a person on planet Earth at that time that could not connect with him. That's what it was.
Right.
It was just a connection that was so strong that you just, as much as you just didn't want to get into it, you couldn't help it. Because Stone Cold Steve Austin was the man.
Yes, sir. Like,
So he was the man. He was super good, too. Like, when you work him, it's that's a whole nother level, too. Like, it just, you're just so excited and so happy because you don't have to really do anything. And that's, for people that know what I'm talking about, it's cool,
right?
Like, you get so much out of doing so little that it's that's called being over.
Right.
That's over.
Right. You don't have to do anything.
Yeah,
and no. The crowd's cheering. You're going to get paid either way.
Phew.
Talk about your relationship with China.
Oh, this was going to be a hard one.
Oh. Okay.
She is my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it.
Yeah. I get it. I didn't work with her, yeah. But I met her later. Yeah. And I'm thinking, this is the nicest lady I've ever met in my life.
Yeah, she was amazing.
She was, wasn't she?
She was amazing.
Yeah.
And it, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You got any fun memories?
Every one of them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a, yeah. It really is a,
it's still
I get
a little
it.
Bit rough to kind of go there.
I understand. Right. It's a tragic story.
But no, I mean, it's she was amazing.
Yeah.
She was so good
yeah.
and would do anything for you.
Right.
And yeah, me and her were like best friends.
Oh, man.
I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was an amazing person and absolutely crushed me. Just killed me.
Right.
That's so wonderful. But like, that's the best part of wrestling, right? Is like the relationships you build with people.
You do. You know, you build some good ones. You build some crappy ones too. Let's not make
right.
a mistake about
right.
it.
Well, that's like, I think that's, you have the crappy ones, but then you build even better relationships because people have like crappy relationships
yeah,
with the same
but
people.
It's in any life. You have to, but we all have to get along.
Yeah.
For God's sakes, back then we were on the road 300 days. Like mm-hmm. people don't realize.
Right.
You don't
the same
get along.
Weekend job. Like, no.
You're in a car with people all the time.
300 days. You spend more time with people that you work with than you do your own family.
Right.
So you have to coexist and get along, whether you like them or not. It's like we all have such different personalities, and some people get along with each other, some people don't, but mm-hmm. you can't. It was never, and if you don't get along with it was never shown.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just, it's very unprofessional. I mean, some did, but it was you weren't there long if that happened, because it's just super unprofessional.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And you have to see them every day.
Every day.
So, I mean, you know.
I could imagine if I had to see you every day. It's hard enough seeing you one day.
Do you know how good your life would be?
Good? I think you're using that word incorrectly.
So now we see you. We talked about you being a coach. We see you wrestling with the Gun Club and your son. How's that going?
Oh, my gosh.
Huh?
How weird. Right? Like, it's so much. Like, I never thought. One, I never thought my kids would get into this business.
Right.
If anybody, I knew Austin would, because unfortunately, he is just like me.
Oh.
He is, right. But he's 10 times more athletic and has a larger personality than me, if you can believe that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He is, but he's amazing. He is actually built to do this. But our deal was for both of my kids. Was they had to graduate college first.
Good.
Like that was a
good
that was
human.
A must. Like, and they, like Austin, or like Colton, my oldest, is an amazing kid. Both of my kids are amazing. Don't get me wrong. I think probably because I didn't have a hand in raising them. So
as you're on the road 300 days a year.
Yeah,
I just worked a lot so I wouldn't ruin them. Right. No, but they're amazing. And they knew the deal from the get-go when they were little. I mean, it's funny because we just, I had to send them some, we're going to do some stuff, some photo stuff, and I had to get a bunch of pictures of me and him. And it's funny to see how they were back when they were super little in the ring. They have drawings of me and Rock when me and Rock had our, it's, but it just comes around and you just don't realize it. And then that day came when he goes, I think I want to try it. And I went, Oh, dang it, man. Like I thought I dodged that bullet. Not that there's anything wrong with this business. And the most important thing is I didn't want them to do this for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I never wanted them to do this because I did it or they thought that I needed them to do this to fulfill something in me. Never, ever was that the case. I wanted them to be their own person. And as soon as they graduated, I'll help you do whatever you want to
right.
do.
Right, you got to get that
and
college degree first.
They both did. I mean, they both, you know, Colton graduated 2 degrees from Florida State. Austin graduated from Rollins with a special education degree. So, I mean, they're both awesome kids. And then Austin tried this, and he picked this up so fast.
Sure, yes, he did.
And it wasn't, like, I thought it'd be a little bit of a struggle because he's been around his whole life. And when we're around it our whole life, it's like from coaching and training people, they pick up bad habits and don't even have to get in the ring. Like,
right.
they're
right.
like you're trying to go, what are you, like, I have no idea what you're doing right now. And well, I saw it on TV one time.
Oh, no.
So I went,
oh, no.
Okay. I need you to forget all that. But he never did that. Like, that was the funniest thing. He acts and reacts. That's it. That's all we have to do. And you have to stay in the moment. But now it's just being out there with him. He makes me laugh. So that's all I need, is somebody to make me laugh, because he's just so all over the place. It's like trying to tone him down a little bit now.
How much are we going to see the Gun Club? I mean, is this something on a regular basis?
It is. Okay, I think it is. I think.
So you're going to be working a lot more in the ring, ready to go.
I don't think he factored in that part.
Yeah.
When they're like, do you want to attack with your son more? He's like, sure.
Helping him in AEW meant working with him all the time. Yeah. But no, it'll be fun. I think we'll do some stuff together as a tag for a while until he kind of gets a little bit more in the role.
Yeah.
And then just turn him loose. I honestly, not because he's my kid, and everybody goes, sure, that's exactly why you're saying that. But I think he's going to be a huge star here. A huge star.
You're saying that,
and he'll be AEW branded, and I think that's kind of what we need more of, is some, like, when they look at people, go, that's an AEW person.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because they don't say that about, as much as they go, hey, he works for them.
Correct.
I am not branded AEW.
Right.
Right.
Which is not a bad thing, but it's a thing. But I feel that it's just our next step in making a huge program,
right,
is branding AEW talent. And I really do, because he has all the tools. It's just getting him in a line, and he's still going to have some time, and that's the beauty. He's going to have some time to find himself.
Well, he's still young, right?
He's so me right now. he's so me that he's just maneuvering, but that makes him comfortable. And you want him comfortable in front of everybody, so he's clear-headed.
Right.
It's when we're not clear-headed and we're worried about these people, and the next thing what to do is, we have a tendency not to want to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And your best successes come from failure.
Right.
I know. I never thought I'd pull my pants down and did it one night because I was mad, and it was probably one of the most over things ever that I did. Now it's stuck pulling my pants down.
Well, you're right about your son, because the camera finds him. It does. When you're in the ring and you see him on the camera, it finds him. Right. And that's a trait not many people have. I can tell you that.
No, it isn't. And Brian had the same thing. And I tell people all the time that, like, I think Brian just morphed himself to my kid, because they're both very likable. They're both very camera friendly, and they do exactly what you say. Like, some reason, everything attracts to them.
That's right.
Like, and I think that, as for me and Brian, that was our best dynamic. So when you beat Brian up, people are into it. They legitimately feel
sympathy.
That.
Immediate sympathy.
Then you have me standing on the outside going, that's okay, because he's about to kill everybody. You know, so, and Austin has the same thing. He's very, very lookatable.
Lookatable.
It's Billyism.
Billyism.
Yeah. I have lots of Billyism. Yeah. Like, I always say, Colton, my oldest, is super pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he really is.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And then Austin is handsome. So I'm a pretty son and a handsome son.
I like it.
So here we are in our fifth month, getting ready to start our sixth month of AEW. Pretty good start, wouldn't you say, for us?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's a great start. You know, and as long as we can keep the energy and we keep delivering in a program that everybody wants to see, then we'll be fine.
Right.
You know, and it's still developing talent and bringing talent in and making talent our own and just having a good time doing it.
All right. Yourself, Dean Malenko, BJ in the background doing some work.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to miss somebody, but
Arn.
Yeah.
Arn.
Probably one of the greatest, Justin. You know, one of the great, one of the greatest minds in this business.
Yeah, and the backstage stories are the best now, aren't they?
So awesome.
Oh my God.
He's so good.
Anyway. Thank you, Billy.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, even though I did have to, you had to be right in the middle of me and the professional.
They put me here.
Tony,
they put me here.
No, you put yourself there.
No.
You said, come sit by me.
Because I was already here. Don't try and rewrite this.
Oh, gosh. I want to see you flex next time. In the ring.
I
don't know who's talking to you.
Yeah.
All right.
It's only if I worked out that day.
And if you could, just don't have a personality in there, too.
Oh, I'll try.
Oh, wait, you already do.
Love you, Billy.
Our thanks to Billy Gunn. Please subscribe to the AEW Unrestricted Podcast for free wherever you get your podcasts. And tune into Dynamite Wednesdays 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central on TNT. I'm Tony Schiavone.
I'm Aubrey Edwards.
Thanks for listening to Unrestricted.
Come on, throw your hands up. Let me see you. Unrestricted.